you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Oh, it's kind of poetic.
Yes.
That could be a good opening.
Ooh, I like that.
That was James chapter 1, verse 17. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, August 30th, 2023. Joining me in the studio is Dee Chesser. It's been a month or two.
It has.
We're getting to the very end of this month.
End of summer.
I know, end of summer. It was like 200 and something days in this year, and I'm like, what? And you were saying earlier that Christmas, as of last Friday, was like 4 months away.
Yep.
Thanksgiving's around the corner.
We have to start getting ready.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you've got to start getting all your boxes down and decorations up.
Well, my grandson has to start getting all the boxes
help
down.
You. But Dee Chesser joins me. It's been a while, but we appreciate her. She's a fantastic content contributor, a gift from the Lord, a free agent for Jesus, our director of the children's choir, which at some point I hope to gather those children again and have you lead them. But the COVID restrictions and the timing just hasn't been able to pull them all together, but appreciate you joining us, Dee. And I have a few announcements. I mentioned some of this yesterday as I had a solo program where I gave some updates and where the Singing Men will be singing next. It's a free concert. It's being held at the St. Joseph Church of Christ, and it's on 226 East Sherman Street. Ivan Parker will be the featured guest, and we'll back him up on a few of his famous songs. And that'll be a great concert for everyone.
Yes.
St. Joseph Church of Christ, September 15th. That's a Friday night. And then the next week in Springfield, on Sunday, September 24th, Huntley Brown, world-renowned, he's inspired, he's anointed, powerful and explosive piano artistry. Huntley Brown will be joined by the Singing Men of GNN and the Academy, a great group of young men and young women will also sing, and we're looking forward to that. That's also a free concert. There will be a free will offering, but that's going to be held at Calvary Church, 501 West Hazel Dell Road, in Springfield, just off I-55, off the interstate. Real big super church. I think over 800 can fit in their auditorium. So we're excited about Pastor Johnson inviting us there. And we're going to be sponsored by WLUJ Family of Stations, BMIC, Businessmen in Christ, and the Springfield Ministerial Alliance. And we're kind of calling it a unity concert, bringing hopefully many different churches and peoples together to enjoy the musical artistry of Huntley Brown. So put those two concerts on your calendar.
Yes, that will be wonderful.
Now, Dee, you're going to fill in also for Rob Seidenberg. He couldn't make it, and I couldn't schedule both of you. I was going to have like you yesterday and Rob today, but we're going to have you read one of his stories and then also your story, Less is More, More or Less. And so we appreciate Dee. She's been reading her stories for a number of years, and we're returning to having our content contributors on Wednesday. So Dee, thank you for writing this article. What was the inspiration behind it?
Well, you know, that Bible verse I love, but I think some of us have a tendency to hang on to more of those gifts that come down from above than others.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are willing to let a few things go. So I was just thinking about that in my family and the differences and looking around my home and seeing the differences. And this article popped up. I love the way the Holy Spirit tells me what to write. I have to say over and over and over, I don't write. He does. And then I put it down. I still write it on paper. I'm sorry. And then I transfer it.
And what's been neat in this journey, you and the Holy Spirit, is you might have this concept, and so you begin writing this story, and then suddenly, nope, you're going to write this story, and these are some of the thoughts that you're wanting to convey.
You bet.
So appreciate this. Less is More, More or Less by Dee Chesser. And this is on page A14 of the August 2023 edition. And I will point out, yesterday the September edition arrived. So all the volunteers yesterday and today are coming here to pick them up, to distribute them throughout the area. And if you can distribute some of the papers on our behalf, like maybe to Lincoln or Bloomington or Decatur or other areas, we can always use additional help. And there's a lot of businesses that if they know they're going to get the new paper each and every month on a regular basis, I think they would say okay to us putting a stand in there. So if you can help, I know we had an offer for somebody in Macomb, but I don't know if they're still willing. I haven't. And getting them to Macomb, maybe we can rendezvous in Springfield or somewhere. Sure. But we would love to have assistance in getting this great publication out because it's encouraging.
Yes.
It's edifying, it's positive, and it's engaging and informative. So,
and I like to say all the time, too, it's not just for those who are in the prime of life. Mm-hmm. It's a paper that anyone of any age can enjoy. There's so much in it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
D, the encourager.
Less is more, more or less. Have you heard of the saying, less is more?
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite get it. I am not a minimalist, according to the rest of my family, who believe in that sort of thing. So I guess that affects my understanding. Mm. This is evidenced when you look at my patio, or the rest of my abode, for that matter. If and when you decide to take a look at my floral display, you probably won't be thinking of that saying, less is more.
Mm.
But you might think of my first rule of thumb when it comes to my view of the outdoors.
The first rule of thumb.
Yes. Patio rule number one. Every inch of space that is not a walkway or filled with furniture must be covered with flowers. In my case, petunias, impatiens, German ivy, bridal veil, oxalis, and rosemary and tomatoes. When I moved to an apartment, I did not envision having more plants than I had in my previous home's garden. But this past summer, I hit a grand total of 57 pots.
Hey, I'm going to stop and digress for a moment here because I know we have a little time, but you were telling me an interesting story about the greenhorn caterpillars that were making their arrival on your tomatoes and,
yes.
and the lessons learned, because there might be others that don't know that these turn into these beautiful. So tell that story.
Okay. Well, I love hummingbird moths. Mm. I get a big kick out of watching them at night after dark. And they fly around my flowers, and they look like little hummingbirds. And I learned, much to my horror, that they come from the green-horned caterpillar, a very large, ugly caterpillar.
Yeah.
And every year, yes, every year I pick them off with a paper towel.
Because they want to eat up your tomatoes. Yes.
And I throw them out in the grass. And then I figure the birds all go, mmm.
Thank you, Dee.
3 or 4 meals here. And then I found out that they turn into hummingbird moths.
And I wasn't very aware of hummingbird moths till you mentioned it. And I thought, I think I've seen one, but I get lots of hummingbirds, but they come out in the evening typically.
Right. And I have a plethora of them that visit. And I think maybe they were checking up on their babies, the greenhorn caterpillars, but their babies went bye-bye. Now I will not do that anymore. I will put them on a volunteer tomato plant so they can eat to their heart's content.
Mm.
Well, back to the 57 pots. Reminded of that proverb, which I think is new in the past few years, and which two women in my family heartily endorse, I thought I would try downsizing, and I succeeded. I went from 57 pots last summer to 39 at the start of this year's gardening season.
Now, were these bigger, though?
No, same pots.
Yeah, okay.
However, though my intentions were really good, I gradually started adding in a pot here and there.
Mm.
And I now have 52. That reminds me of another proverb, pride goeth before a fall, an oldie but goodie. No, I haven't fallen on the patio yet. But I did have some plants fall off the patio wall during one of our recent storms. Fortunately, they weren't damaged, and I was able to put them back in place so my numbers didn't diminish.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reminded of a couple other circumstances where the newer proverb has been ignored. One of my daughter's good friends has a very large dog, a Bernese Mountain Dog. She decided to breed her dog to have puppies to sell to others who might want a very large dog. Her dog had 4 puppies, now very large puppies. So her family is celebrating having more. Of course, when they are sold, they will have less. Both women I mentioned...
But they'll have more money.
Well, this is true. Both women I mentioned have minimalist decorating styles. They have taken out the more furniture and are living with less. I could really help them upsize with my more decorating skills. So far, they've refused my offers to help. But I digress. Back to the patio. My multiple flowers are all seemingly growing a little faster this year, though the previously mentioned storm did thin them out a bit. Not that you would ever notice. Taking care of them brings us to this, patio rule number 2.
Patio rule number 2.
Water every day and fertilize once a week. If you miss the everyday thing, I think it's okay to catch up at night, though my dad did say, plants like to go to bed with their feet dry.
Oh, gee.
And though I try to hit the fertilizing thing exactly one time weekly, of course, this does entail knowing what day of the week it is.
And the fertilizing, Holly didn't realize this, nor did I, but I didn't do any of the gardening. But for a few years, she was getting some tomatoes and potatoes and cucumbers and different things in her garden. But we have really clay, terrible soil where we live out in the woods area.
Sure.
And she never used any kind of fertilizer or anything. And then, like, she was getting less and less. And then a friend said, well, are you adding fertilizer and doing this and doing this? And she said, no. And so we've added it. Now the things are growing really tall. Fertilizer does the trick.
They love that. Holiday weeks are especially confusing. If a holiday falls on Wednesday, the next day naturally feels like Monday. If you're supposed to fertilize on Friday, of course that could now feel like Wednesday. So you have to wait 2 more days and then you're late because it's really Sunday.
Oh, dear.
Patio rule number 3.
Patio rule number 3.
Can't remember.
Yeah.
So I guess 2 rules are enough for now, which fits with that newer proverb, less is more.
Oh.
I guess I am a bit of a minimalist, at least when it comes to rules.
Oh, copyright D.A. Chesser, used by permission. D is an award-winning writer. D, formerly from Minnesota.
Woohoo!
Nurse administrator, is now a Champaign, Illinois resident, volunteers, and a grandma. And we appreciate D. And if you want to contact her and encourage her, maybe there's a story that you think she needs to address or the Holy Spirit needs to put on her heart, email her at dannchesser, C-H-E-S-S-E-R, @gmail.com. Less is more. More or Less by Dee Chesser. All right, now we don't have our beloved Rob Seidenberg here in the studio. I wasn't able to coordinate him coming in, but we'll have him for next month in September. But he wrote on hummingbirds, and I was telling you, I've not seen as many hummingbird sightings this year as in the past. And I wonder if all that smoke from Canada and the wildfires and maybe, I don't know, pollutants or other things have kept the hummingbird, not crop, the hummingbird
population
down.
We'll have to ask Maggie Roberts.
Yeah, a number of people have said they've seen less hummingbirds, but they're great. They're fun to watch. And we have our 3 feeders up that we keep filled. So we get sightings, but not where there's like 6 or 8 at a time. And then they usually fight, and there's usually a dominant one that hogs it. But then when he leaves, he or she leaves, then 2 or 3 show up, but less hummingbirds, at least in our neck of the woods.
Well, maybe you don't have quite the right mixture. I see Rob tells you how to do that right at the end of the article. So,
okay, we can learn together. Rural Memories, page A2 of the August edition of the Prime Life Times.
Hummingbird. I love the Brazilian word for hummingbird, beija flor. It means kiss a flower. At our bird feeder, we get only one kind, the ruby-throated hummingbird, Though nearby neighbors have photographed other species, ours are really tiny, even the adults. The other day, I was out watering my garden when a hummingbird flew over and watched me.
Mm.
She hovered around for at least 5 minutes, apparently keeping an eye on me. Then she flitted back to the feeder again, drank deeply, and zoomed up into the treetops.
Yeah, they say hummingbirds have a memory and will return each and every year. If you keep the hummingbird feeder kept up, they will return when they populate back through.
I didn't know that.
Because I remember years ago starting with just a few and then more and then more. And then one point we had like 20 or 30. I mean, they were zipping all around. And so you treat them well, they'll return. They'll keep an eye on you.
Ooh. My little visitor reminded me of something that often happened to my dad. My mom raised hundreds of gladiolas in her garden. On Sunday mornings, she'd send Dad out to cut an armful of the lovely blossoms to take along to their country church. Frequently, on his way back to the house with the flowers, Dad would get a visit from a hummingbird.
Hmm.
He would just stop and wait until the bird was done collecting nectar, then move on toward the house. Sometimes he had to stop and wait several times on such a trip. I was always fascinated by these tiny marvels. Once, when I was 9, Dad told me he had a job for me. I was intrigued because we had been milking and he didn't let much interfere with that job.
Mm.
He said a ruby-throated hummingbird had gotten between a screen and a window on the milk house. He wanted me to reach up inside the screen, very gently take the hummingbird in my hand, and hold the loose bottom edge of the screen out slightly from the window with my other hand. Then I was to take the hummingbird into the milk house, and holding her gently but firmly, apply a tiny bit of an iodine-like medicine to a cut she had sustained, probably while struggling inside the screen.
Mm.
I felt that it was an important assignment, and I took it seriously. I showed Dad the bird when I had finished, and he said, "Good job, son." I was very proud. We've fed hummingbirds in our yard for several years now, and the results have varied. At times, we have moms and dads ferrying nectar back and forth from the feeder to their babies in the nest. At other times, no one visits the feeder for hours, or even for a couple of days. I had heard so many different ideas about how to make hummingbird nectar that I decided to do my own research. A mixture of 4 parts boiling water to 1 part dry sugar does not yield a 25% sugar mixture at all. That's because the water is a liquid and the sugar a dry substance. Didn't know that.
Hmm.
1 cup of sugar to 3 cups water yields a 23% sugar solution. That's well within the range of nectars hummingbirds typically find in flower blossoms. Now that you know that, you can go out there and check to see what percentage your mixture is.
Well, and I always, at the beginning of the year, give it stronger, more sugar, because it attracts them, and then I dilute a little more. But I've always been about a third to begin the year.
You get a little stingy with that sugar. Not only are we helping the hummingbirds, we are delighting my wife, who enjoys watching the little aerobats perform around the yard. I'm still trying to decide which is more important.
You want to keep mother happy.
Yes, let's go with the wife on that one.
Oh, yeah, I have a number of hummingbird stories. Let's see, I'll just tell one quick one. I've had hummingbirds on my finger a number of times. In fact, you can buy a little thing. It's a little bigger than a quarter, maybe like a silver dollar, and it's a hummingbird feeder, but it's for you to hold it out the window. And so I've held it out the window and took a picture of it with my other hand with the phone, and they land on your fingers or they land and stay suspended. You know, you can have it about the extent of your arm, maybe just 2 feet. And so I've done that many times and even filmed it. But my best hummingbird story is a hummingbird got into our garage. And it's flying around in kind of the upper part of the garage. And there were cobwebs. And I could see it going back and forth, but it couldn't navigate to fly down and out the garage door, even though I left it open. So I kept climbing on a ladder and getting up in the corner and trying to coax it. And he finally tired out enough where I put my finger up there and he landed on it. And it took a couple times going down the ladder. Then he flew off. And so,
oh, no.
But when I got him on to my finger, I noticed that he had all this cobweb around his little, what do you call it, his beak, his... And so it was significant. It was like three times the size of the beak, all the cobwebs from flying up into the rafter area. And so then I was very slow, but I used my thumb and my other finger, and I kind of peeled it off. But as I was doing it, you could see his head moving because it was all that cobwebs wrapped around. But I finally got it off, but he let me do all that. And I thought, nobody's going to believe that this has happened, that I've had a hummingbird for about 4 minutes on my finger. And so then I climbed down the ladder and he stayed on it. And I opened up the screen door from the garage into the house and the other door. And I did it all slow. And I walked up the steps. And the whole time, I wasn't thinking, like, what am I going to do with a hummingbird in the house? But he stayed on my finger, climbed up the steps. I said to my wife, look it, I have a hummingbird on my finger. And she was like, wow, you really do. I said, I had to have somebody see this because nobody is going to believe the story. And so then I took him out on our deck, the sliding glass door I moved open, and I put him up near the feeder because I figured he's probably exhausted and all that time in the garage. And so then he stayed on my finger and he kept doing his head down into the feeder for about a minute.
Oh my goodness.
Finally, I think he got enough strength or the wherewithal and he flew off. But at least my wife saw that. I was like so proud of myself that I rescued that hummingbird. But he had all that cobweb wrapped around his beak. So I think it was keeping his mouth from opening up.
Did a really good thing.
Yeah, I love my hummingbirds. And we have woodpeckers and we have three other feeders that I know they say don't feed the birds during the summer because they can forage for themselves. But I love seeing them right out the window. We have a second story and you can walk right up to the windows and then they're just like 8 inches or 12 inches awake because I have the feeders attached to the soffit. So it's really, anyways, they're right within a foot of the window, so you can get great views of all the different woodpeckers and, tufted titmouse and the finches. And with the Sangamon River nearby, we get a lot of diverse, red-bellied, red-headed. And my favorite is the rose-breasted grosbeak. So, yeah, I'm kind of a birdie. So, anyways, read this month's edition. You'll find out more about hummingbirds, maybe getting your mixture upgraded so you can draw more. Of course, they'll be migrating back through in the next month or so as it gets colder. They're heading south again or South America, wherever they originate, and they travel many miles, thousands of miles. All right, everyone. Well, the September edition of the Prime Lifetime is out, is being distributed now. There's probably some August editions at various locations. And if you subscribe, you can get it delivered right to your home, $30. That basically covers the first class postage. So we can mail it to you. Give us a call, 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. Well, thank you, Dee, for joining me for today, the Wednesday edition.
Well, thank you for having me.
Good to see you, and hopefully, listening friend, you're going to be blessed by the broadcast today, maybe by Dee's story, by the ways that God will use one of our 19 frequencies to encourage you in the days ahead. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Dee Chesser with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.